This is Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Here's Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Dr. Lowell Kleinman, a family medicine physician with Memorial Care Medical Group in San Clemente. He is board certified in family medicine and hospice and palliative care, and believes in compassionate continuity of care for all his patients, and especially for families dealing with serious illnesses. Welcome, Dr. Kleinman.
Hi, good morning.
Today we're going to be talking a little bit about palliative care, who should receive it and where it's delivered. First of all, what is palliative care and how is it different from hospice care?
Palliative care is a type of medical care that is patient and family focused. Mm-hmm. And the difference between palliative care and hospice care, it's a question that comes up very, very often, and there's a lot of confusion out there.
Right.
A lot of confusion actually amongst doctors. Palliative care, the main focus of palliative care is on getting a cure and controlling the symptoms of your illness and the quality of your life.
Whereas
hospice is for when a patient is clearly dying, mm-hmm. and we don't expect them to live beyond 6 months, and so we switch from a focus on cure mm-hmm. to a focus on the quality of the days that remain.
Well, that's a huge difference.
It's a big difference, and it's especially important in hospice to focus on the quality of those days with regards to the sort of symptoms that people have.
Sure.
So I can give you an example.
Mm-hmm, please.
I have a patient who has a type of cancer that is spreading, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that she can get chemotherapy and radiation therapy, and that there's a possibility of a cure. And okay. So while she's going for those treatments and seeing her oncologist and her radiation oncologist, she's also seeing me. I'm a palliative care physician,
mm-hmm.
and I'm focusing on the symptoms that she's having. So, for example, after her treatments, she tends to get nausea.
Right.
A part of her disease has spread to some of her bone areas, and so she has pain there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm treating with medications that treat those conditions.
Okay.
I have a similar patient who, unfortunately, her prognosis is much worse.
Mm-hmm.
And she's transitioned from palliative care to hospice care.
Okay.
So she's no longer receiving chemotherapy. She's chosen to stop her radiation therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're focusing on issues like, and these are tough issues and tough things to hear about,
yeah.
but issues like, where do you want to die?
Right.
And in her case, it's very important to her that she doesn't die in a hospital setting, that she doesn't mm-hmm. end up in the ICU. So that's one of her, what we call, goals.
Okay.
It's important for her to actually attend a wedding that's 3 months down the road. So we're making sure that the medicines that we're using aren't creating a overly sedated situation around that time where she wouldn't be able to enjoy the wedding.
I see. Okay. It's more for her comfort.
Yes, it's comfort. And the other good thing about hospice is when you're enrolled in hospice, there's a team approach. And so not only is there a physician like myself, but there are chaplains and social workers and aides and nurses and home health people that come by and help with everything from making sure the medications are delivered and taken properly to making sure the person's comfortable at home to getting hospital beds and supplies. Mm-hmm. So you get this really huge team.
Right.
And the team approach is very, very important. This sounds a little bit odd to hear, but we now know that when patients enroll in hospice,
mm-hmm.
and this is odd, they tend to actually live a little bit longer than were they to have the same disease and not enroll in hospice.
I would absolutely echo that because I've had 3 family members in the last 3 years go through hospice, and I have to say it is the most wonderful, comforting thing for the person and for the family.
Yeah, the thing that we think is responsible for some patients living a little bit longer and certainly having a better quality of life of the days that remain
mm-hmm.
is this team approach.
Yes.
And so you can see how the close attention that team members will pay can help. And so when people are enrolled in hospice, they get visitors, and every week at a minimum somebody comes by, and
right.
frequently, more often than that, and there's a lot of attention paid to the family as well. So it's really a family-centered approach.
I think it's really the most wonderful thing. I mean, it really includes the family in the team.
Right, yes. Yeah, the family members. And so in this case that I'm talking to you about, her husband is very, very involved, and of course, you know, he's having his own emotional difficulties, as you would expect.
Sure.
And so he gets to talk to somebody as well, and there's support
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And the support after the person passes away, we call it bereavement support. And we have counselors and social workers who are especially trained in bereavement support, and that's part of this as well.
Yeah. So, Doctor, why do you think there's an increase in interest in palliative care by both patients and doctors?
I think it's coming from a couple of different sources. First and foremost, I think that palliative care is just becoming better known to the population at large. And so mm-hmm. we're hearing stories about patients and friends and colleagues who've been enrolled in palliative care, and we're hearing how they did better compared to folks that weren't exposed to palliative care. So I think mm-hmm. there's this groundswell from patients who are seriously ill
mm-hmm.
who realize that this is something that they can use and it can help them.
How does somebody
physician,
know?
Go ahead, please. And physicians as well. I think physicians now are seeing their patients being enrolled in palliative care,
mm-hmm.
and they're seeing the difference as well. The other issue, I think, is really more of a social issue that in our country especially, we're just not very comfortable talking about death and talking about dying. And that includes all of us, physicians, patients, everybody alike has challenges talking about those issues.
Sure.
But I think that's changing as our population is aging, as we are needing to have more conversations. This death and dying discussions is more commonplace, and we're seeing some social movements, actually, that are aimed at making this conversation easier. One in particular is called the Conversation Project,
mm-hmm.
and people can find that if they just Google Conversation Project.
Okay.
And it's an excellent, excellent idea. And the idea is to have a kitchen table discussion with your loved one
yes.
who has a serious illness about what their wishes are.
Right.
And it is a series of questions, and they're well thought out, and it guides the conversation.
I think everybody should do this with every member of their family over the age of, what, 21?
You know, the Conversation Project, it's aimed at people with serious illness.
Mm-hmm.
And the questions are really for people who have serious illnesses and have to think about this kind of thing. But it doesn't mean that anybody at any age can't have the conversation.
Right.
It's really, it opens up the door to discussions around advanced directives and wishes and what do you want when you have a serious illness? What do you want to focus on? What are your goals? What's important to you? Where do you want to receive your care?
Mm-hmm. What sorts of illnesses are treated by palliative care?
Many different illnesses. Most people, I think, still think of palliative care as for people who are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hospice. And hospice, by the way, is a subset of palliative care.
Okay.
But anyone with a serious illness can receive palliative care. So I think I could best describe this with another example. I have a patient who has what's called congestive heart failure. And his heart is not pumping out very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets tired, he gets low energy, he's short of breath at times. But he's not what we call hospice appropriate because we would be very surprised if he passed away in 6 months, so he doesn't mm-hmm. seem like he would be good for hospice.
Okay.
But he can receive palliative care where our focus is, how do we help you control your symptoms? So how do we make it so that you can go to the supermarket or go shopping or go for walks without feeling so out of breath that you can't do these things? And
mm-hmm.
what medicines can we use? What aids, what devices can we get you in your home to help with this? So that's someone who has congestive heart failure. Same type of scenario, patients who have COPD or emphysema, they benefit from palliative care as well.
I can see the benefits. Now, where is the palliative care delivered?
So palliative care is delivered anywhere the patient is. And so, for example, it could be in an office setting. So if you're seeing your cardiologist or you're seeing your family doctor or your pulmonologist, you can ask for a palliative care consult.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll refer you to a physician or a nurse practitioner, somebody with expertise in the area, and you can go and get a visit, a consult, and so that's an office-based approach.
Right.
Palliative care can be delivered in the house as well. So we have patients who have heart failure, for example, or emphysema, and it's very hard for them to get to the physician's office. We don't think that they're appropriate for hospice,
mm-hmm.
but they're appropriate for palliative care, and so we have teams that can go to the home and deliver palliative care. So it's really any setting where a patient with a serious illness is, where we want to focus on the goals of care and expert management of the symptoms.
It's a beautiful thing. And how can people find out more about palliative care? Because we have less than a minute, unfortunately.
Well, what I would do is use the internet and Google palliative care, and a lot of really, really good sites will come up. A good place to use is called palliativedoctors.org, and that's where you'll find a way to get local resources. And you can always call me, Dr. Kleinman, and you can find me online as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Kleinman. It's been so informative to have you on the program. Listen to the podcast, or for more info, please visit memorialcare.org. That's memorialcare.org. I'm Deborah Howell. This has been your weekly dose of wellness. Have a great day.